The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have a name everyone knows, Richard Spires here. He is the CEO of Learning Tree International. Good day to you, sir. How's it going?
John, it's going very well, although I hope that the weather improves outside in a little bit.
I have to tell you the truth. The last couple of weeks, I've been using quotes from Richard Spires right here. I have my quotes from Richard Spires here, and you have all kinds of good quotes. Here's my favorite quote from you. Govies don't know what goodness looks like. I used that 2 weeks ago, you know? And I got another quote from you. It says, there is a significant skills gap out there in cybersecurity training. But I think those are kind of the focus of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Learning Tree International. And mostly, you know, how can Learning Tree International help my listeners achieve their goals? Can Learning Tree International help my listeners get a good FITARA grade? Can Learning Tree help my listeners get promoted? And most importantly, can Learning Tree International help my listeners achieve agency goals, whatever they might be? There's so many agencies and different types of goals. But before we begin, I mean, I don't have to introduce you, Richard. Why don't you tell us a little about your background and how you wound up with Learning Tree, please?
Sure, John. Well, as most of you know, your listeners would know, that I've spent some time in the federal government.
That's pretty humble.
Yeah, well, you know, I was at the IRS, ran their modernization program, came in 2004 to do that after 20 years in the private sector. You know, I have an engineering background all the way back to my schooling, but came out of school.
Wait, let's not be too humble. You have a master's degree.
Well, I have a master's degree in electrical and computer engineering. That is correct.
It's EE. It's the hard stuff.
Yeah, from George Washington University,
as
a matter of fact.
I know.
So local here for my master's. But I did a couple different jobs, SRA International back in the day, and 16 years there, and then ran a software product company, and then got enticed to come into the government to run the Business Systems Modernization Program at the IRS starting in 2004. And let me say, some of the best work I've ever done was at the IRS. I really felt like it was a great team. And we were able to get that program on the right track.
And the best kept secret is some of the most detailed, thorough, hardworking folks are at the IRS. I
mean, you
know that about it. And I'm an outsider.
Well, and
people work there, and I know.
Admire that culture, I admire the people, and I just find it's too bad some of the things that have happened lately there that have caused some of the issues. But I don't, you know, of course, I had left in 2009. But when I was there, I was asked to step up and be the CIO and ultimately was the deputy commissioner for what's called operations support. So I had all of the finance, IT, all the administrative functions under me there the last year I was at the IRS. But, you know, like all good things, they do come to an end. And I, you know, 4.5 years, good run, but it was time to step out. And about a year and a half later, I got a call from the White House asking me to come back in, this time as a CIO at the Department of Homeland Security. So I spent about 4 years at DHS. Again, another great place to work, although politically a much more difficult environment, I'll say that to you, John, to get things done, but enjoyed my stint there. And since then, I've done a couple different things, but about 6 months ago, or what, 2 years ago, I was asked to become a board member on the Learning Tree Board of Directors. And then about 6 months ago, the board asked me to step up and take on the CEO role.
They said, hey, we got a guy in the room who can run the show. What about Richard over there? That's exactly what happened. That's how these decisions are made, I think. It's like, you know, you got an NFL linebacker in the room and go, oh, maybe he should play on my pickup team. It's like, well, yeah, he's sitting right there.
Well, you know, and I joined the Learning Tree board because I've always felt that the most important thing you need to do is develop your workforce when you're running an IT organization. And here's a company, Learning Tree International, and that's what their business is. And so in that regard, I thought it was a good fit, and I was actually delighted to be asked to become CEO and very pleased to step into the role.
Hey, my wife's a Latin teacher. My first job out of college was teaching. I'm teaching right now, so I'm in the whole idea of workforce development. And let me tell you a situation that I was in class. So for the last 17 weeks, I've been lecturing in the graduate school at Georgetown, and one of my lectures was on Google. And okay. I had my slides, and I was had bad jokes and everything. And that day, Google changed the way it presents things on their search. You know, they took the right-hand column, got rid of it. And I said, well, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? Google changes 200 times a year, and they just changed on me today. So I got to throw out this deck and move on. In the world of technology, you may have a master's degree in technology from 2 years ago, and people go, well, yeah, guess what? It's changing. It's changing right now. And so I think the whole idea of continuous learning and workforce improvement, I mean, it's got to be part of everyone who's listening. They got to think of it constantly.
Well, if you're in the IT field or any technology field, frankly, I mean, as you say, John, it changes so rapidly that, I mean, you can't stop learning, right? And while I had a great undergraduate and graduate program in electrical computer engineering, great foundations, obviously, with where the technology is, it feels like generations have changed since I went to school. So it's imperative that we all we're going to continue to advance in our careers, that we view learning both hard skills and the technology areas as well as soft skills. I mean, obviously, management, communications, leadership skills are areas in which I particularly focus on these days for myself.
Learning Tree International has been around since 1974. So any business has been around that long, they've learned to flex and adapt and have some good credibility and good ways to communicate the information to their students.
Well, it's got a great heritage, great brand recognition, and frankly, a great product. I mean, and talking about change, you know, one of the things we do within our product management organization is we've got all these courses, and as you say, many of them have to be constantly updated. And in fact, part of our drill is to constantly look at the courseware and to make sure that what we're presenting next week to the student in the class reflects what is the current version of that product or the latest thinking in that particular technology area. Not an easy thing to do, but it's something that we take a lot of pain and frankly, spend a lot of time and resource on to make sure that we get that right.
Well, what is easy to do is give your website, because it's learningtree.com.
Thank you.
I mean, that's awful. I've had companies on there have to spell it out and go back and forth. So in doing my research for this interview this morning, I did a very sophisticated research by going to YouTube and typing in Learning Tree, and I found 27 videos. One of your videos got 700,000 views. This is a big deal. I mean, yeah. And so you're either stumbling on the right topics or Learning Tree has put their ear to the rail, like in the Westerns, and try to figure out what people really need to learn, and they change and adapt their courses to what's relevant to my listeners.
Well, from the course perspective, we really do try to provide the full range of topics that you need to effectively build and run an IT organization at any scale. And so that's a full suite of technical courses that cover, I mean, I'm going to say to cover every single thing you might run into technically, but how can you possibly do that? But we literally have hundreds of courses on the technology side. But I'm also very proud of the fact that we have a deep leadership and professional development curriculum as well, because it's not just about those hard skills. And if you run an effective organization, well beyond even IT, you know, it's those soft skills, it's those leadership and management skills that are also imperative for the organization.
So if you're listening right now and the Redskins are playing or something and you're listening to us online, you can go to learningtree.com. They have over 400 courses you can scroll through. They have white papers. They have videos. And so there's no lack of getting an idea of what you offer over there, is there? All kinds of stuff.
No. In fact, you can very easily search and find any particular topic area and the kind of courseware that we have in that area.
I want to take a little break when we come back. I want to talk about how Learning Tree does it. Is online in the classroom. The teachers come to me. Do I go to them? What kind of certifications you have? And just more the nuts and bolts about why should I even consider about Learning Tree, or why should I consider Learning Tree instead of doing an MBA at Virginia Tech or something? We'll put this in perspective, because many of my listeners are scratching their heads going, you know, I want to get promoted. Do I have to have certain set of certifications for that, or maybe a master's degree? What options do I have? We'll talk about where Learning Tree might fit in that whole matrix of educating and trying to keep up with what's going on. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Richard Spires, CEO of Learning Tree International. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Last night I was over at the Microsoft office in Reston, and I listened to a two-hour presentation on all the new things with Microsoft Azure and Cortana. And it used to be easy. I used to be able to take and read a couple books and take a test,
yes.
And then I would be certified as a Microsoft System Engineer. It was pretty easy back then, A, B, C, B, a, B, and then you take the test. And that's, to tell you the truth, that's what I think of LearningTree. Hey, if I want to take my Microsoft certification test, I would go there and I would be able to take the test. But it's much more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, John, it is. I mean, clearly, we offer a lot of courseware, and a lot of it is to help help our attendees get ready for a lot of these certifications, whether they be for vendor certifications like Microsoft, or whether they be for other types of certifications, full range, for instance, cybersecurity. But what I'd like to highlight for you is the fact that we're really moving beyond just training. We have become a leading organization in providing a full range of services to support IT organizations in their workforce development. We call it workforce optimization solutions. And so it starts out on the front end with things like helping an organization figure out what their organizational design should be, what their roles and positions should be. And we use a couple of industry leading frameworks to do that, like the skills framework for the information age, or SOFIA, which is something that started in the UK, but is now sweeping and really getting big here in the US. We also have automated skills assessments capabilities, so that if you're a Java programmer, you can literally take a quote test online, and you can get an assessment of how good, if you will, you are as a Java programmer. Why would you do that? Yeah,
I just want to jump in here.
Yes, John.
I was with a bunch of programmers last night, and it dawned on me I think 2/3 of programmers are mostly self-taught. And there's a situation, yes, where, yeah, I pretty much know JavaScript real well, but how can I confirm that? Well, you can confirm it with a skills assessment.
That's correct. Yeah. And in fact, not to take away from people and self-assessments and all that, and you know what they feel about what their skills are, but to your point, I would fall into that category too. In a number of areas, back in the day, I was kind of feel self-taught. And then you go, but do I really know this well?
That's it.
Right?
That's it.
What am I missing? And so that's really why we do these skills assessments. And that, of course, then leads to things like the development of individual development plans for people so they know where their gaps are. And then here's what you can do to fill those gaps. Obviously, part of that is training, but coaching and mentoring capabilities that we offer. And also on the back end, I mean, many organizations struggle to implement change. So let's say that they want to implement new service management capabilities with ITIL. Or they want to really learn how to do agile development and do it well. Well, this isn't just about one individual taking training and all of a sudden, boom, the whole organization shifts. You really need to go through a change management process. So we will take our subject matter experts, and we have more than 600 instructors that are practitioners. They're not full-time LearningTree employees. What they're consultants in the field, working in the field, and they also happen to train for us. And that way we can bring real-world experience from our instructor corps. But they also can be used to help organizations with these change management initiatives. So we've taken, for instance, a master instructor in ITIL and embedded that individual at a major government agency recently to help them with their ITIL implementation. And it's not so much that they do the ITIL implementation for them, but they work with those that have been trained in ITIL to go through the process of implementing it for that government agency. Been very, very successful.
I would imagine if you've been doing this since 74, there's got to be some lessons learned there, and it's not about taking a certificate. I keep thinking of this phrase LMS, Learning Management System.
Yes.
It seems like it's they tried that acronym a few years ago. It never really fit. But it seems like a systemic way to make sure that knowledge is applied. It's almost like applied engineering.
Yeah, that's right, John. And in fact, I mean, one of our solutions is not that we offer LMS directly, but we partner with a company called Saba Systems to offer their LMS capability. But learning management systems, I mean, I talked about that individual learning plan. Well, that's just one component. You leverage an LMS so you can carry out an individual learning plan, but for your whole organization, right? For every individual in your organization. And, you know, I think this looking at it holistically about workforce development has also got a major retention. It attracts new people because if you do this right, they know you care about your employees. You know you're trying to develop your employees. But for the employees that are working for you, if you take this seriously and you really are concerned about their development and you really want to know where they want to go and help them get there, what a huge retention device. And it's something that I've used in my career, and I think LearningTree is in a great position to help government agencies put in the right workforce optimization approach for them.
Yeah, I didn't realize you were on a GSA schedule. Didn't know the training could be on that, so it's easy. So let's say a listener is working at DOI, at Department of Interior, and maybe thinks they a pretty good skill set, maybe in SharePoint, maybe in JavaScript, maybe in Red Hat or something.
Sure.
So they can take advantage of some information at Learning Tree to get a skills assessment and go, well, you know, I really don't need a course on mobile design. I might need a course on information security and mobile devices. And so they can hone that in where their gap is in their skills.
That's right. And what we do is we lay out paths, if you will, learning paths, because, you know, I mean, sometimes one course is enough, but many times you have to take multiple set of courses. And so we've laid out these learning paths to get to expert categories in particular areas. And as you say, you do a skills assessment. You know, maybe you don't need the basic intro course, but maybe you start with an intermediate course or the advanced course to fill out where you have some gaps in learning. And then what you could do is take another skills assessment afterwards, maybe after a few months, to make sure that those skills have been absorbed and that you're able to use them on the job.
LearningTree.com has a blog. It's got all kinds of videos, course offerings, white papers, all kinds of stuff. So from the perspective of one of my govies listening, are these courses all online? Do I have to drive out to your location in Virginia? Do they come to me, or what's the how do I sign up?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, we have a number of different things. We actually have three physical education centers here in the Washington D.C. area. We also have a number of others around the country. But if you want to take a course in the classroom with the instructor, you're certainly welcome to do so. We also have a technology that we've developed called Anywhere, a remote learning experience, and so while you're still live with the instructor, you're doing it from your home or you're doing it from your work. And then the last way is that we actually go ahead and have our instructors do what we call on-site training, where, you know, if a government agency, and we do this quite a bit for a number of our clients in the government, you know, they have 10 people that are 20 people can go through a course, you know, we'll come to you. I mean, we'll set it up in one of your conference rooms or in your learning center, and we'll do the course that way.
So how would you compare your offerings with something like the SANS Institute? Is it two different categories, different swim lanes, similar?
Yeah, I mean, we do have, I'm not going to try to, you know, with SANS, they're a great firm, do a lot of great training in cybersecurity. You know, we do have a full suite of 30 courses in cybersecurity. We've aligned our courses to NIST has an organization they call NICE. And within that, there's the National Cybersecurity Workforce Framework. And it's a comprehensive framework of the skills and abilities you need to implement a full cybersecurity program. We've aligned all of our courseware to that. And so it's a good way for an organization to better understand what it is that they need to have the way in their skills. And so I'm not going to say, I mean, SANS has got great courses. We believe we have really great courses as well. And we're aligned with ISC Squared and with CompTIA and others to leverage their certification programs so that our courses will prepare you for those kinds of certifications.
What about, does anyone ever consider these free offerings like EDX and Coursera? I mean, I don't think that much, but do they have value? I mean, there's free online. Is there anything valuable there?
I think there's, web-based training has definitely got value. And in fact, we're moving more and more to a blended learning model for our clients where, you know, we believe strongly that instructor-led live training is the best way to learn. It's been shown over and over again in studies it is. But that doesn't mean that there can't be elements of what you're learning in an area that could be done in an asynchronous web-based training kind of mode. And in fact, we're building more and more of those modules that augment, if you will, or supplement or complement what we do with our instructor-led training. And we think that is that we call that blended learning, and we believe that's the best way to learn. And many organizations say, hey, I just can't lose this person for 4 days. So can we do a custom course on site? Maybe it's a 2-day course, and then we augment it, if you will, with these other types of web-based training modules.
My son has friends who are in special forces, and they sometimes are in unknown locations.
Yes.
And they don't know when or where they're coming back. And so what happens if you're in the middle of a course and you're in an unknown location and I can't tell you where, and they have to complete it? And so this is actually, it's not bad to have that type of flexibility, especially for this audience.
Well, and for many of our large customers, we're moving more and more to that kind of model, John.
In undisclosed or disclosed locations.
That's correct. Absolutely.
And I'm not going to get in trouble saying more than that. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Richard Spires, CEO, Learning Tree International. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, world famous Richard Spires. He is the CEO of Learning Tree International. That'll cost you $20, well,
yeah,
by the way, Richard.
John.
Yeah. If you work for the government, I couldn't say that. Now you work for a regular company, I can say, hey, I'll tell people you're good looking. That's $50. You know, when I think of taking these tests, you get a grade on the test. You either pass or fail. Okay.
Yes.
And then, but you got to do much, much more than tests. I know that. But govies get tests too. There's this big, big, big test out there. Everyone knows it's not an Italian dessert. It's called Fatara. And
yes,
you get scores and grades. And so where's this all fit in with training and education and gaps and Fatara? And does this all fit in together? Or is this a whole different topic completely?
No, I think it is related. I've been very involved in Fatara, both when I was in government and trying to say, hey, we either need to start enforcing Clinger Cohen or we need new legislation. And since Fatara's passed, I've been very active. For instance, Darren Ash, who's now over at USDA, and myself are co-chairing a project for ACT-IAC related to Fatara and how to really implement Fatara. But you know what? This Fatara is really, in my mind, all about improving IT management within government. And that's got many facets. And obviously, workforce development, as I said earlier, is so critical to running IT that, you know, that's one of the central components is developing your workforce so you can effectively manage IT throughout a federal agency. And so these are all related. But specifically to Fatara, I'm very pleased to see it have passed. And I'm very pleased and actually give Tony Scott and those over at OMB quite a bit of credit for the approach they've taken, both working with outside organizations like ACT-IAC and the Partnership for Public Service, as well as I think taking a very strong stance saying, hey, this is good for government. Let's work with the agencies. Let's make the agencies go through the right planning to be able to implement Fatara that over time should result in better IT outcomes for agencies.
In one of the breaks, we were talking about the number of unfulfilled jobs in the era of cybersecurity. You threw a number out at me. I said, whoa, what's the number?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the next year, it's projected a couple different sources I've read that about 2 million cybersecurity jobs that will go unfilled worldwide. I mean, that's a staggering statistic, isn't it?
So if you're working for an agency and you're looking at your Fatara grade and one of the components is moving to the cloud securely,
yes,
you're going to have people on staff who understand some cybersecurity requirements. You're right in the middle of this gap of unfilled skills, isn't it? I mean, that's
absolutely
what you're looking for talent.
Yeah, and let me say this, John. I mean, many government agencies, they obviously contract out a lot of the skills they need on the technical side and the like. But you know, having worked in government a few times myself now, you need a cadre of leaders and of technical staff, okay, that can go toe-to-toe with anybody on the industry side. And frankly, that's very difficult, particularly in the cybersecurity space, for agencies to be able to attract and retain those kind of people. So you really need to develop your staff in cybersecurity. I think it's really incumbent upon you doing that. And I go back to what I said earlier. If you do it in the right way, you know, you can both attract people because people love the mission. I mean, almost any government agency, you can attract people into because of the mission that the government does. But then to retain them, you've got to show them paths in which they can grow, and particularly in cybersecurity these days.
Years ago, way before your time, there's a TV show called Who Do You Trust with Johnny Carson. And I think we have to ask that question, who do you trust in the federal government? If your team isn't skilled in cybersecurity, how can they trust a consultant? I mean, if you don't ask the right questions, maybe someone is maybe not deceiving, of course, misrepresenting certain standards.
Yeah,
I got to be careful about these words,
but
it can happen.
I put it in a more positive context, which is we got a lot of positive results out of contractors we used when I was in government. And the best examples of that when we did it was when we had on the government side people that really understood the area, both the management side and the technical side, and really could oversee the work that those contractors were doing effectively. And that's when you get the best results.
And this training is it's grow your own. If
yes,
you have people on staff, they can go to a learning session and all of a sudden they can apply it to what they're doing that in that project in that day. And this seems to be the best, the hands-on, the theory, the practical, And that's, I think, the way humans can grow. It's been my experience.
Well, I mean, Learning Tree, we're not an educational institution like a university, But we are very, very practical. And in fact, we pride ourselves on building courses where there are a lot of hands-on exercises so that if you're learning the technical skill or you're in a technical area, it's not just about book learning, but you're actually then doing exercises that you get to practice. And in fact, we even have it set up so that we have a sandbox capability so that after you're done with your course, you can go back and redo exercises you want so that you can continue to enhance your skills that way.
You know, Richard, you have experience in the commercial world and the federal world, several different agencies, a lot of sensitive financial information, a lot of sensitive security information, and you're in and out. People are listening to this interview saying, well, what does that guy read? So what is Richard? How do you keep up with this? Are there blogs that you read? There's magazines? Or, well, how do you keep up with this changing technology?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And I will admit, it's difficult. I've become kind of a believer on the federal side. You know, I read, you know, I'm not going to name, but all of the major kind of trade magazines that serve federal IT, I stay abreast of because it's the way to keep current on what's going on in federal IT. On the more general question, really two areas here. There's a number of different blogs, some of them cybersecurity related, like Active Cyber Defense as an example, which I think is quite good. And then there's a number of other types of magazines, including like CIO Magazine and the like, where I find that those kinds of magazines, I mean, look, I'm not a deep technologist anymore. I'd be the first to admit it, even though I have a technology background and degree. I'm more about trying to keep abreast of what's going on actively in IT management and what are best practices in overall IT management. And that's where I really focus my time.
I focus my time on doing silly Google searches. And this morning I did a Google search was information technology most popular certificates. Interesting.
Okay.
And I delved into an area of security, CompTIA, CISSP,
yes.
SEC from SANS, CISM, Certified Information Security Manager. A lot of these didn't exist 8-10 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
And so if I am working for the federal government and I want to get a couple of these certificates, what I can do is I can take training courses from you and then to take the test. Is that the little dance? Is that how
that's typically the dance, right? And then many of the ones you mentioned, we do offer courseware. And in fact, some of them, we even embed the test there at the end. So it's all one package, depending on who it is and what they're offering. And you're right. I mean, it's important. I mean, these certifications, I like to be careful, though, because having a certification doesn't necessarily mean you're an expert in that particular area. But it also is in today's world, it's necessary in many of these jobs. And so we do offer them and we take them very seriously for our students. And we help make sure that they get the competency level they need so that they can pass that test. That's a lot of what we do. And in fact, we have after instruction coaching from our instructors. If people are struggling with a particular area, you can reach back out to the instructor. You can have those kinds of discussions. I mentioned the sandbox kind of idea as well for those that need more help on exercises.
I'm a big believer in social media listening. I have tools that listen. I have alerts set up. And my guess is the challenge is how to figure out what courses to offer. So does your company go to places like Indeed, Dice, and maybe, I don't know, Simply Hired, and see what job titles are in desire and then fix your courses that way? Or how do you put together these 400 courses?
Yeah, that's a great question. We actually have a whole product management organization, and then within that, we have product managers that are responsible for different
So the product is the
curricula.
Course.
Yeah, this case, the product is the course, right? And so these product managers, I mean, their job is to stay, part of their job is to stay abreast of what's going on in the industry. So, for instance, the woman who handles our cybersecurity curriculum, she was out at the RSA show earlier this year, and she's going to conferences like every month to really stay abreast of what's going on in the cybersecurity world, staying abreast of what are the latest trends, where do we see the most need for skills, and so that we can orient our courses to meet that need. I would also say we have a set of instructors that are experts in cybersecurity. So we've got a little bit of a cadre there that she works with. So staying abreast of what's going on. So we are hopefully focused on where that next over the horizon is going to be. In this case, this example in cybersecurity.
And I think that's a good certificate to have. Let's take a little break, come back. We'll talk more about Learning Tree International and courses and maybe learning systems and how you can improve yourself and help your agency reach some goals and get a better FITARA score. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy. here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in the studio, Richard Spires, CEO, Learning Tree International. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have the well-known Richard Spires. Right now, he is the CEO of Learning Tree International. You might have heard him in one of his roles at the IRS or DHS, but he's working with book learning and all kinds of different learning. You know, well, when it comes to book learning, I think of a four-year accredited institution that I want my kids to go to, and then go ahead and do a master's degree at an accredited institution, and that's the way you can learn everything, and that's really great. So what happens when people come up to you and say that?
Well, John, given that I have three college degrees myself, I'm a huge believer in college education, and I would want anybody who wants to further their career advise them to look into that. Learning Tree is really focused on helping individuals in a work environment hone their skills, whether they be needed technology skills. Very, very focused, 4 or 5 day courses typically with a lot of hands-on exercises to take you from maybe a basic level of understanding to a much more advanced level of understanding in a particular technology area. Or if you're a manager, right? I mean, very, very focused, intense courses to help you with your management skills or your communication skills. And so it's very, very oriented that can augment college education. And so I think the answer is I would urge people to do both, right? More general education, augmented where you need specific skills through a company like Learning Tree.
Supplemental, is that the phrase that
they use? Yeah, I mean, that's a good term to use.
I've had all kinds of different guests on the air. I decided to do a show on risk management, and I found a group called PRMIA, Project Risk Management International mm-hmm. Association, and they're mostly accountants.
Yes.
But I think, well, risk management, it applies to cybersecurity, doesn't it? I mean, this risk applies all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great lead-in. In fact, myself and our chief strategy officer, Greg Adams, we just created a half-day course for Learning Tree on essentially cybersecurity risk management oriented for managers and even the board personnel, because cybersecurity really is a risk management problem. I mean, there's no perfect security, and you certainly aren't going to want to spend more money than you need, but you need to spend the appropriate amount of money in the right way. And that's a difficult challenge. And so we've created this course, and we're excited to launch it. In fact, we had our first public event of the course earlier this week. So I'm excited to be now an author for Learning Tree as well as an instructor.
And I think someone with your background would give gravitas, how's that for a Latin word, to that course. I mean, you've been under a lot of pressure when it comes to cybersecurity and sensitive areas, and there's a lot of that you can transfer this course at all. Whenever I go to events, people always ask me silly questions about my guests. How tall is that guy? What kind of phone does he have? So I've come up with a 10-question scientific test to see if you are a card-carrying nerd, Richard. So, first question.
All right.
Do you have an Instagram account?
No, I do not, as a matter of fact.
How many cell phones?
I may not do well on this test.
You may not at all. How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
One.
Not that's good. That's way too normal. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
Yes, I do, sir.
Okay. Have you ever used Blab?
No, I've not.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an iPhone 6 Plus.
And what's the most popular app in that bad boy in the last 30 days?
Popular app that I use?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. You had to ask a question like that.
Yeah.
Well, how about ESPN?
Well, that's the wrong answer, my friend. No promotion for you. So we break into your house tonight. How many tablet devices do we find?
Oh, my goodness. Probably a dozen.
Oh, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. And when was your most recent post to a social media site?
Oh, that was like 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm, good.
Not bad.
This morning would have been better.
Bad.
Yeah. And I look on your arm. When is your Apple Watch due? Is it next week? Or
I don't. I'm a traditionalist. Look at that. I got hands on my watch.
That's terrible. That's terrible. That's terrible. That's terrible. And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
Oh, electronic.
Well, you're right in the you're a weak nerd. You're a nerd wannabe.
I get the Washington Post thrown in my driveway every day, so I guess I'm not. Yeah, still like paper.
Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
But I'm a baby boomer, and we're aging.
Yes, we know that. when you look back in time about what happened years ago with the Washington Post, now it's all changing, physically moving, by the way, where is the world of cybersecurity and training going to change here in the next few years? Is it going to be part of your job description? Is it going to be, okay, Richard, you work Monday through Thursday, and every Friday you can spend 8 hours in training on new things because it's changed so fast? I mean, is it going to be just incorporated? Is it going to be what they call baked into your job?
I think it's got to be. I mean, and I'm not trying to just tout Learning Tree on this. I feel like with where we're at in cybersecurity and the pace of technology in general, I mean, yeah, we were talking earlier about some of these cloud-based services where, you know, even we are challenged to keep our courses up to date on some of these because they change so fast, right? If you got a SaaS-based service, I mean, literally they're putting out new releases, you know, every week with new functionality. So it makes it very, very difficult to stay abreast of that stuff. The good news is for end users, this stuff gets more and more intuitive all the time, right? I mean, I think that's one of the things Apple has done that has been world changing. Their whole thing was, how do we make the end user experience intuitive? And so on that side, I think things are getting better and better. But the complexity factors, if you will, on the IT side, for those of us that are professional workers in IT, complexity factors just get more and more. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon, John.
Yeah, I think it's the approach is all well and good, but it has to be, what do they call it, continuous monitoring. Instead
yes.
of you got to look in the mirror and go, hey, guess what? I'm doing continuous monitoring. And now I know a little bit about mobile device management. What do I know about digital signatures? I don't know. I mean, you know, just this morning, Salesforce had a press release about new SaaS cloud offering that they just had. It just changed this morning.
Maybe
I have to go back and look in the mirror and go, well, I got to update myself with what Salesforce is all about because Salesforce is getting real popular in the government as well.
Absolutely. In fact, I think it's a great wave for government. I've been a huge proponent of cloud-based computing for government, both at the more foundational level, like platform as a service. But the SaaS-based offerings, I think, are where everybody's moving to, and government needs to be there. But that, of course, your perimeter has just been essentially blown away, right? I mean, there is no perimeter anymore in this computing world. And so security and the way you go about security has to change completely when you move into those kinds of services.
One thing I have to admit, I've watched Learning Tree over the years, and what I like about it, it doesn't call itself a university. Because it's not a university.
No, we're not.
It's different from a university, and it's not better or not worse. It's just different, you know. Apples are different from bacon or, I don't know, so it's just different. So I see a lot of organizations who claim the mantra of university and have there's no concept what it's all about. But you are what you are. Learning Tree will help you learn and accomplish goals for your agency, and that's it. It could be supplemental to your regular formal education. It can help formally, informally. And what's new about this interview, I didn't realize you'd have almost like learning coaches that could come in, look at your staff and go, okay, well, assess the staff, and this is a program for this staff to reach this goal by the end of the year. That is innovative. I don't think standard institutions would do that, like a Georgetown or George Washington. They'd say, take this course and get the degree. They wouldn't say, well, let me take a look at Richard here.
Well, you know, when I talk to CIOs in federal government or other senior leaders in federal government now about Learning Tree, I don't start off talking about our courseware. I start off talking about, look, you have challenges. You know, those challenges have to manifest themselves in your workforce, okay? To conquer your challenges, you need to improve your workforce. And that's not just one individual at a time. That's about transforming the way in which you work. And so there's change management, there's skills increased. And you know, and a lot of times, John, you need help with that. And so our instructors that can be consultants and come in, again, not to do it for you, but to help get your staff up to the point where they, as a team, can do it themselves, is what I'm professing as the value add for Learning Tree for government agencies.
Yeah, I think the term consultant has, you know, some connotations that are, you know, good and bad. There's a different word, I think. It's almost a learning analyst, or there's a different term for this. It's like someone who can take a look at a wide range of skill sets and then go in their drawer of 400 courses and go, well, this is for this group has that and that and looking assessment. It's just it's a lot different from slapping something on and saying, well, blah blah blah, do this and then you move on. It's a more agile. There's the
yes.
word. It's a more agile way of learning. I guess this is, you know, we're talking about agile software development, agile acquisition. Maybe this is an agile learning method or a way to flex and change because there's going to be new iterations. I'll tell you that all over the place.
Well, and that's our big challenge, as we talked about earlier. I mean, things are changing very rapidly, and it's incumbent upon us to make sure that our courseware, our instructors, our methodologies, well beyond training, as we discussed, keep pace with that and can add a lot of value to the organizations that we support.
Great. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Richard Spires, CEO of Learning Tree International. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you very much, John. It was great to be here.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.